the May 8th meeting of the Portland City Council. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman. Novick.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Hales.
Here. Unless there's any objection from the members of the council, I'm going to suspend the rules because we have to make some special arrangements this morning. We have a perfect storm of royalty. We, first of all, have the Rose Festival princesses here this morning, and we also have His Holiness the Dalai Lama arriving very shortly at the airport, and I will have to leave the council meeting fairly abruptly and have our president of the council, Commissioner Novick, take over. So, first of all, we're going to take up the consent calendar and deal with that. Are there any motions or any items to be removed from the consent calendar? If not, then a roll call.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Approved. And now, before we begin with the first item, I just want to, I think Doug Brenner and Nancy Curtis are here. I'm sorry, Nancy Roth are here. Is that right? There they are. And our Parks Director, Mike Abate. They're here, but our lifeguards are not because they're in school. But we want to make a special recognition and thank you and bravo to our parks team, especially those two lifeguards who last weekend pulled a 12-year-old girl off the bottom of the East Portland Community Center pool and resuscitated her, and she's fine. So bravo and well done. Amazing and wonderful. Thank you. So now let's take up first. We'll take communications later, but let's take item 404 first, please.
2013 Portland Rose Festival Court Presentation.
Mr. Curtis. And your leadership. Scott, come on up.
Good morning, Mayor Hales, commissioners. To my left is Todd Johnson, the Portland Rose Festival Foundation president, and to my right, Marilyn Clint, our chief operating officer. It's our pleasure to do, as our annual tradition, is to come in and share a little bit about the upcoming Portland Rose Festival, Portland's official festival, and certainly showcase the very best of our community in the Rose 2013 Rose Festival Court. And my first remarks are just to say certainly thank you to the council as leaders of this great city, and also the thank you goes down to the individual many men and women who work for our bureaus that work long and hard to make sure we have a safe and wonderful festival over the course of the next 4.5 weeks. That our gratitude to all the bureau employees for what they do for this festival is so much appreciated. Thank you. I want to start off our presentation this morning by just giving you some facts about the Rose Festival Foundation, some festival by the numbers that most citizens and yourselves may not be aware of relates to how we do things and share some context to it, Rose Festival by the numbers. And I'll start with the number 2. That's the amount of oil from the deep fryers of City Fair that we recycle through Oregon Oil for a later purpose as part of our environmental mission related to that. 3. That would be June 3rd. What are we doing on June 3rd? Well, in partnership with our great city, we're hosting, being a major part, and we volunteered the Rose Zone as a rally for World Environment Day. That's the festival's closed that day, but we're specifically opening it for a major event in partnership with our great city as part of World Environment Day. 6.2, that's the amount of tons we expect to compost. And a lot of that's food waste and other materials directly from the City Fair event over the course of the next week, all part of our sustainability environmental awareness program, which led us to be the best known and the global leader in the environmental sustainability and festival and events. In fact, won the Grand Pinnacle Award, the Gold Award in that effort. So continuing on that Rose Festival by the numbers, number 8, we've won 8 Gold Awards as an organization by the International Festival Events Association, including that environmental award, as well as having the best public safety plan in our industry last year in 2012, which in today's age is important in the interest of special events. 25, it's the 25th anniversary this year of the Dragon Boat Races, something we cherish as part of our festival. 64 men and women volunteer their time to be on our board. Make a significant commitment over 10,000 hours just to help produce what the public gets to see. 89. That's the percent of our financial resources that go directly into our events and programs that actually fund the organization, what the public sees. 89% of all of our proceeds go directly into those resources. 226. A lot of people don't know this, but we have the newest rose garden in the city of Portland, right around our beautiful building. 226 roses that are cared for by volunteers with the Rose Society and other stewards of our organization. So we have a great new rose garden as part of that great facility down at Washington Park. 8,200. That's a number of young musicians that will perform in this year's festival. And you think of all the bands and all the activities. 8,200 young musicians get to showcase their talents during the festival. 98,000, that's the amount of dollars that will go back directly to the Parks General Fund from the sales of rose-related merchandise at the Rose Garden store up at Washington Park that we operate in partnership with our great Parks Department. And 150,000, those are the expected dollars that will go directly into charity, directly above our operating funds to go directly into Portland charities as part of this year's festival. And the last number of our share is 150,000. That's in thanks to our partnership with PGE, again, part of environmental stewardship. That's the amount of CO2 offsets that we'll have related to purchasing clean, renewable wind power, thanks to our partnership with PGE that helps get the lights on down at City Fair during this year's Rose Festival. So those are some interesting facts as you look at the scope of what we do that makes the city's festival so great and our partnership with the city so important. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Todd Johnson, who has some prepared remarks for you related to this year's festival.
And again, Todd, before you begin, just let me say thank you for you and all the volunteers and staff who make this such a great event. It's a privilege for all of us on the council to be part of this, and it was a privilege for me to meet the court this morning. Look forward to a great festival, and I'll turn the meeting over to Commissioner Novick now and wish you well for a great Rose Festival season.
Thank you, Mayor Hales.
Please continue.
Thank you very much for having us today. And on behalf of the board and the staff and obviously the court here today, we appreciate all your support and the thousands of volunteers that make the Rose Festival possible. In just 9 days, beginning with the Rock and Roll Portland Half Marathon Health and Fitness Expo, we're going to work together to throw Portland a big party. And we're looking forward to making Portland's party fun, memorable, and safe. The recent events in Boston remind us of the importance of civic celebration, the power of community, and the strength that is built from investing in your city's identity. That's exactly what we've done at the Rose Festival for the past 106 years, through wars, economic depression, and natural disasters. We've given the community something to call their own, something to look forward to, and that's why we're here today, to look forward to the 2013 Portland Rose Festival. The people in the room play a significant role in the celebration and continue to contribute to the success of the Portland Rose Festival. The community has high expectations, and collectively, we have a tremendous responsibility to execute more than 60 events in a very short period of time. I'm here to tell you, we're ready and up to the challenge. Those 60 events makes Portland home to one of the 5 largest city festivals in North America. In addition, the Portland Rose Festival has been named Best Festival in the World twice in the past 5 years, as determined by the International Festival of Events Association. Portland's party has many exciting events beginning on May 17th and wrapping up on June 15th with the Rose Cup races. This includes 3 parades, 5 major concerts, 2 fireworks shows, and so much more. During the last year's Rose Festival, we conducted a comprehensive economic impact study. The results show that the festival makes an annual contribution to the local economy in excess of $75 million. These dollars go into the cash registers of the local businesses and the pockets of the local workers. This goes back to the origins of the festival of 1907, when the goal was to put Portland on the map and attract visitors and their spending to the Rose City. While our mission has grown larger and the schedule has grown more complex, we're proud to report we're still meeting the goals of our founders, and it's because of our elected leaders like yourself and the thousands of volunteers that make the Rose Festival happen every year. On behalf of the Board of Directors and the community, I want to thank you for your efforts and to make the festival what it is today. Together, we make Portland a better place to live and to visit.
Thank you, Todd. Well, we're here to speak. The court's really the star of this show and the perspective of what they mean to this community. And we thought we'd do something different this year because this is a different year, and I'm very proud to talk about a project we've been working on for the last 2 years, a book project with Arcadia Publishing, Images of America. I believe you have a copy in front of you. Marilyn Clinton, to my right, has been instrumental. She's our chief operating officer, but you could also call her a writer and a historian, and has worked with George Miller on this great project to put together the best of the best, 106 years of history in the context of the festival, and offer this to the public, and part of this great book series. And so with the celebration of the court, I want to turn it over to Marilyn to share some specific pictures that are in this book that really show you the perspective of the years prior to now and celebrate the history of this great court program before we bring up the 2013 Rose Festival Court. Marilyn?
Good morning. I get to show you some fun pictures. Some of them are in the book that you see in front of you, Portland Rose Festival, Visions of America from Arcadia Publishing, and the book just came out last week, so it's brand new. You see on the cover of the book the 1946 Grand Floral Parade. And you can see how huge the crowd was. People were so excited to see the Rose Festival on the streets of Portland because for 4 years during World War II, there were no big outdoor events, including parades. And so you can see the court float right there coming down the streets of Portland in 1946, and that is the cover of the book. I'm going to talk a little bit about things that have to do with the Rose Festival Court because you're going to meet them in just a minute. In 1914, this young woman, Thelma Hollingsworth, was elected the very first Rose Festival elected queen. Now, Thelma was a 17-year-old file clerk for a railroad company working in downtown Portland, and her boss asked her if she would be willing to run for Rose Festival, and she said yes, she would. She and 24 other young women all staged a campaign to become Rose Festival queen. And Thelma won with 2,274,055 votes. Wow. Now, people had to purchase the votes to vote for Rose Festival Queen, 10 for a penny. And the Rose Festival made almost $15,000 out of that campaign back in 1914. And we figured that was worth several hundred thousand dollars today. So it was very successful. Now, Thelma herself was very successful, a very popular young woman. And she stayed around Rose Festival as its longest reigning queen. 50 years later, Rose Festival somehow managed to convince Thelma to come out in 1965 to promote a brand new Rose Festival event, the hip new teenage fair. And here's Thelma in her late 60s standing on a skateboard. Now, Thelma did stick around for another 20 years working with the Rose Festival until her death in 1984. She came every year and rode in the Grand Floral Parade. She was such an intrinsic part of our history that last year we brought her back as a living history character. So next year will be her centennial as a Rose Festival queen, and she's still around today. This is 1931 when the beautiful St. John's Bridge in my neighborhood was dedicated. And the floats from the Grand Floral Parade, which had happened about a week earlier, were saved so that they could dedicate the bridge with those floats. You can't see in this picture, but Queen Rachel Atkinson was the very first person to cross the St. John's Bridge in a car. I mentioned that during World War II, there were no big outdoor events, but the Rose Festival Court was what kept Rose Festival and the home fires burning. This is the 1942 Rose Festival Court, led by Queen Shirley Fowler, and they did a lot of important roles, like christening ships, like selling war bonds, and like greeting wounded soldiers. Those young women were very, very important to Rose Festival and to Portland during those years. And I want to fast forward to this year's Rose Festival Court that still serves much the same purpose of bringing Rose Festival to those who cannot come and experience it for themselves, of really being our ambassadors into the community. Before I turn it back to Jeff to introduce you to the court, I want to bring you back to the cover of the book, to that 1946 Rose Festival Parade and that float that the court was riding on in 46. For the first time in 5 years, the Rose Festival Court will ride on a float in this year's Grand Floral Parade, and it will be a recreation of the 1946 Rose Festival Court float. Thank you.
Great stuff, Marilyn. Thanks for sharing. Well, this year's court, a collective group of 15 juniors and seniors in our local high schools. I want to give you a couple facts before I bring them up. This group has a cumulative GPA of 3.80. They speak 8 different languages. They actually have a lot of pets. I'll just give you specifics: 16 cats, 6 dogs, and 4 guinea pigs. They play a ton of sports, 12 to be exact. And if we wanted to form our own orchestra, this group plays 13 different musical instruments. I mean, diverse talents, headed to a variety of different colleges and universities, both local and across the country. I mean, the very best of our community has been selected to represent you, the festival, in our great city. And today's day 2 of their travels as they expand and talk to folks and represent the very best of who they are. And they stay for what they belong. There's a lot more behind them and growing up in our local schools. And I think that's a cherished thing that we very much appreciate. So at this time, I'd like for the court to come up and stand behind me. And they have a short presentation for you. To make. So, Rose 2013 Rose Festival Court.
Hello. We are the 2013 Rose Festival Court presented by Pacific Power. We'd like to introduce ourselves and tell you what's happening during this year's Rose Festival.
Erica.
Hello, I'm Erica from Benson Heights. I like helping animals and I plan to pursue a career as a veterinarian. I stay active by playing on both the basketball and the softball team. You can stay active too by participating in the Bank of the West Grand Floral Parade Walk on June 8th. We are calling all parade wannabes to show off their favorite costume in front of the most enthusiastic audience ever. Practice your parade wave as you walk down the Grand Floral Parade route in front of thousands of cheering spectators during Portland's Party Parade.
Sim.
Hello, I'm Sim Carr from St. Mary's Academy. I'm dedicated to helping others through my volunteer service and plan to pursue a career as a doctor. In my spare time, I enjoy reading, traveling, and swimming. For those of you traveling from near and far for the Rose Festival, come join our Happy Campers program to win prizes along the route before the Spirit Mountain Casino Grand Floral Parade on June 8th. Make sure you get a spot with a view so you can watch the fireworks over the waterfront the night before the parade.
Kelsey.
Hello, I'm Kelsey Milks from David Douglas High School. I am passionate about musical theater and have performed in concert choir and 4 school musicals. Some of my earliest performances were marching in the Junior Parade when I was growing up. The Fred Meyer Junior Parade continues to bring many joyful performance opportunities for the children in our community. Come watch thousands of children skip, march, and dance down Sandy Boulevard in the Hollywood District on June 5th.
Ajaya.
Hello, I'm Ajaya from Lincoln High School. I'm involved in various leadership positions, including Black Student Union, Constitution Team, and Student Government. If you want to see who will lead us as the 2013 Queen of Rosaria, join us for the Queen's Coronation right before the Grand Floral Parade, June 8th at 8:30 a.m. in the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. We'd appreciate your support. And Rhonda is not here because she has AP exams, but this is Rhonda from Central Catholic High School. She plays soccer, ran track, and plays the piano. She also enjoys participating in math club and volunteering at the math festival. Now, it doesn't take a math genius to know that 0.34 seconds is a short amount of time. That was the margin of victory for the Rose Festival trophy race during the Rose Cup races last year. This year will be just as exciting. Come see who will claim the trophies this year on June 14th through 16th at Portland International Raceway.
Kiana.
Hello, I'm Kiana from Park Rose High School. I serve on the Park Rose Student Government. I play softball and volleyball, and for the past 3 years in a row, I have won the Women's Heavyweight State Wrestling Championship. If you would like to see great competition, stop by the 2013 Dragon Boat Races on the waterfront, June 8th and 9th. Teams from around the world will come around to celebrate 25 years of friendly dragon boat racing.
Allison.
Hi, I'm Allison from Tiger High School. I'm a member of the National Honor Society and Key Club, and I plan to pursue a career in nursing. I also enjoy participating in orchestra and playing the violin. Come see great floats, music, and more at the Spirit Mountain Casino Grand Floral Parade on Saturday, June 8th. Buy weatherproof seats at the Memorial Coliseum, join the Happy Campers along the parade route,
or watch the parade live on KPTV Fox Channel 12.
Megan.
Hi, I'm Megan, and I'm from Lake Oswego High School. After high school, I plan to pursue a career in nursing. I have been an active participant in choir, track, and cross country. For my fellow runners, be sure to join us for the Rock and Roll Portland Half Marathon on May 19th. With a band at every mile, you can easily run, walk, or dance your way to the finish line.
Katarina.
I'm Katarina from Grant High School. I plan to pursue a career as an orthodontist. I enjoy playing soccer, volunteering, and Greek dancing. Come dance in the streets at Portland's Party, the official theme of the 2013 Rose Festival. The Rose Festival annually provides a $75 million economic impact to Portland each year. Come join us as we celebrate the festivities of Portland's official festival.
Annalise.
Hi, I'm Annalise, and I'm from Cleveland High School. I love science inquiry and enjoy competing at international science fairs. In addition, I love playing jazz and classical piano and making videos with my friends. Come join us in celebrating our talented young folk at the Creative Youth Awards. Held on June 6th at the Hollywood Theater, finalists from the Rose City Sing-Off and the International Youth Silent Film Festival will be showing off their stuff at this entertaining event.
Alejandra.
Hi, I'm Alejandra, and I'm from Franklin High School. I enjoy dancing, singing, and drawing. I'm a member of the theater tech crew where I help light up the stage. So come watch us light up the night at PGE Sol Starlight Parade, where floats, marching bands, and many entertaining entries will illuminate the streets of Portland on Saturday, June 1st at 8:30 p.m. Or you can watch it live at KPTV Fox Channel 12. Now, this is Hannah, and she wished she could be here, but she's also taking exams. She's from Madison High School. She is actively involved in theater, speech, and debate, and journalism. She enjoys singing, whether it's show tunes around the house or as a section leader in the choir. So come hear some talented performers during the Rose Zone Concert Series at City Camp. We've got Award Sharkey and the Magnetic Zeros, Shaggy and Carly Rae Jepsen, to name a few. And for you country fans, Little Big Town will headline this year's Country Fest. So put on your cowboy hats and come to the waterfront.
Olivia.
I'm Olivia from Wilson High School. I play on both the varsity soccer and lacrosse teams. I enjoy exploring, hiking, biking, and photography. Celebrate our sustainable city at the Rally in the Rose Zone, Wednesday, June 5th, after the Junior Parade. Portland has been selected as the North American host for the United Nations World Environment Day, and we're proud to show the world that they made the right choice. It's all free.
Cinnamon.
Hi, I'm Cinnamon from Jefferson High School. I'm a part of the Jefferson Dancers, too, and also editor of the Rites of Passage Literary Magazine. I also enjoy writing poetry, reading, and sketching. Did you know that the first elected queen won with more than 12 million votes? Enjoy learning more fascinating facts about the Portland Rose Festival by reading the Portland Rose Festival book from Arcadia Publishing. With this new book and the return of the Living History Program, the Rose Festival really brings history to life. And I have our last Princess Shawnee with me from Roosevelt High School. She's also taking a test, and she participates in jazz band and plays a variety of instruments. She is also involved in student government and a youth advocate for the city and council government. Join the crowds at Rose Festival City Fair on the waterfront. The special attraction is open every weekend starting May 24th, where you and your family and friends can enjoy music, carnival rides, local vendors, special attractions, and more.
Thank you for hosting the 2013 Rose Festival Court presented by Pacific Power. We'll see you at the Rose Festival.
That concludes our presentation this morning, President.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so very much. And an historical note, princesses, I'm sure you all know that 1946 kicked off 27 years of uninterrupted economic growth in America. So being superstitious, I'm sure that your riding on that float will also kick off another 27 years of uninterrupted economic growth. Next item, recognition of a championship basketball team. I defer to Commissioner Fish.
Mr. President, it doesn't get any better. First, we have a chance to honor the 2013 Portland Rose Festival Court and the remarkable achievements of these young women. And now we get to acknowledge a wonderful accomplishment, the best men's basketball team in the state of Oregon from a school called Jefferson High School. So it's my honor today to read a proclamation and welcome our special guests, and we'd like to invite them forward first. Would head coach Pat Strickland, principal Margaret Calvert, athletic director Jacques Sage, and athlete Hayden Hall Jr. please come forward and take a seat at the dais. Welcome. We're going to ask each of you to say a few words, but the mayor has asked me to begin by congratulating the team on this remarkable accomplishment and to read a proclamation that the mayor issued today. And this is the way the city of Portland honors great accomplishments in our community. Whereas high school athletics encourage high academic standards, interpersonal skills, and help students become well-rounded individuals. Whereas athletics promote healthy bodies and strong minds and build strong leadership skills. And whereas state-level championship competitions encourage students to display sportsmanship, teamwork, and individual skills. And whereas the Jefferson High School men's basketball team earned first place in the 2013 5A State Basketball Championship, and whereas the team's accomplishments are a source of pride to the extended Jefferson family, including teachers, alumni, current students, and their parents, and whereas the Jefferson team's success brings honor and distinction to Portland Public Schools, the city of Portland, the Humboldt neighborhood, and the state of Oregon, and whereas the Jefferson men's basketball team has been supported by Jefferson High School principal Margaret Calvert, athletic director Jacques Sage, head coach Pat Strickland, and assistant coaches Dale Baugh, Richard Forston, Danelle Morgan, DeRay Thirdgill, family members, and friends. And whereas the Jefferson High School men's basketball team includes the following outstanding student athletes: Silas Melson, Dario Papavincetti, Denio Papavincetti, Kadeem Strickland, Gabe Garrett, Quintus Hall Jr., Victor Sanders, Jamarte Brown, Devontae Paschal, Hayden Hall, and Sundiata Edwards. Close enough? Now, therefore, I, on behalf of the mayor, Mayor Charlie Hales of the great city of Portland, Oregon, do hereby proclaim for all time May 8th, 2013, as a day of honor and recognition for Jefferson High School's 2013 champion men's basketball team in the city of Portland, and encourage all residents to observe this day. Let's give them a round of applause. And before I recognize the very proud principal of Jefferson High School, would all the players that are here please stand and accept our recognition? Principal Margaret Calvert, congratulations.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you very much for inviting us down today. It is with great pleasure that I present to you a group of young men of outstanding accomplishment and their tremendous leader, Mr. Pat Strickland. It was a great season, and I will turn it over to them to actually share their thoughts, but it was tremendous, and not only the level of competition and teamwork that was displayed, but the dedication and perseverance by the team. In addition to the accomplishments of the team, Mr. Strickland was recognized as Coach of the Year, both in the PIL and in the state of Oregon at the Class 5A level. So we also have with us our cheerleading coach, Sarah Lawrence, and one of our cheerleaders, Shantae Ritchie. So I want to say that they were well supported at the state tournament, not only by family and friends and fans, but also our cheerleaders. So,
do we have some cheerleaders here today?
They're actually at the back as well. So if they could stand, that'd be great.
Would the cheerleaders please stand? I apologize. We want to acknowledge. We're working hard too. Thank you.
So with that said, I would just like to turn it over to Mr. Pat Strickland.
Congratulations, Coach of the Year.
Appreciate that. Once again, my name is Pat Strickland, and thanks for having us. It really was truly a special year. We've won state championship state championships at Jefferson before, but this year was much different because those other years we were picked to do it. This year we kind of started from the bottom, which is kind of funny saying, being at Jefferson and being a part of the basketball program. The only folks that really believed in us was our community, the boys, the cheerleaders, the administrators. And at the end of the year, when you're able to cut the nets down, it's a proud thing to bring back the trophy back home where it truly belongs, and that's Jefferson High School. You know, I truly believed in the guys. They came together, and to fight through all the adversity that we went through, injuries, all assorted various reasons, and for the guys to pull it together at the end, it was a really special season. And I couldn't have been nominated as the coach of the year without these guys and without the support that I got all year long from not only the players but the parents as well. And I want to give kudos to my assistant coaches as well who stuck with us through the whole year. And only one is not here, but this is a great accomplishment for the basketball team as well as the community. I'm going to turn it over to Hayden Hall, who was a blessing in disguise for us this year at Jeff. He was one of our captains and one of our leaders on and off the court.
What position did he play?
Hayden plays the 1 through 5, so he plays everything. Wherever we need him, that's where Hayden was going to
play. That sounds like LeBron James.
Exactly.
He's our local LeBron, exactly. 1 through 5. Hayden, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, my name is Hayden Hall. Just the experience of winning a state championship was just unbelievable, and the whole experience of the season. Definitely being a part of athletics has helped me stay on my academic side of just life and just keeping straight on and off the court. And, yeah, without the administrators and Coach Strickland and my teammates, I mean, the experience wouldn't be an experience. And it was a great journey and just something that I'll never forget and definitely something that I'm very proud to be a part of.
You know, Hayden, I was reflecting on your accomplishment and the group that preceded you from the Rose Festival. Almost every woman or every other young woman identified a sport that they were also passionate about. And it is a wonderful thing when we give young people the chance to be their best in their sport of choice and in the classroom. And I think today we can also remind the public that when we talk about investing in facilities like fields and basketball courts, we got to keep making the case it's just as important as the investments in the classroom because we want healthy bodies and healthy minds.
Well, yeah, and on that, definitely I think student-athlete, I think it's called a student-athlete because student comes before an athlete, so you can't really be an athlete unless you're a good student. And so that's something that we definitely focused on, and Coach Strickland kept on top of us for that and just definitely wanted us to be student-athletes and not athletic students, I guess.
Well, congratulations. We have another one of your teammates here today.
Yeah, definitely. This is our athletic director, Ms. Sage.
Hi.
So I'm Jackie Sage.
Jackie, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you for having us. I feel very fortunate to be a part of such a great program. I'm really proud of our coaching staff, our team, our cheerleaders. I can't say enough about them. The pride that they bring to our school and our community, it's tremendous. If we can go to school every day and feel like that after we win a state championship, it's an amazing feeling. So I just want to congratulate them and our cheer squad and our administrators for supporting us. And it was just a great thing to be a part of.
Well, thank you all for bringing great distinction to our city. And we were going to wonder if we could impose on you for a moment and get a photograph with the whole family. And then we're going to ask the Rose Festival court if they take a photograph with us, too. So if we could start with Demos.
We could bring the other teammates up and
give these champions another round of applause.
think it's only safe to go to Coach Richard.
Coach, I would like to have you accept this on the
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you.
Thank you.
Steve, why don't we take a 2-minute? Oh, we're going to do the communication.
We're going to do communication.
Sorry.
Is that okay?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm patiently waiting.
We're now at communications. Carla, could you please read the title for item 399?
Yes. Request of Ellie Mosbeck to address council regarding fluoridation.
Ms. Mosbeck, please come forward. You have 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record, and we don't need your address. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Ellie Mosbeck. A couple months ago, I got my braces taken off. Dental insurance helps many families afford the thousands of dollars for braces because teeth are that important. I'm happy to have straight and healthy teeth because people notice your teeth, and bad teeth can stay with you for the rest of your life. But in Portland, we are not currently fluoridating the water, which would help protect everyone's teeth. The cost of water fluoridation is less than a dollar for each person per year. I grew up here, and by age 5, I had 6 cavities and needed a baby root canal. Even now, 10 years later, I still remember the pain and how uncomfortable it felt. It's truly awful. No kid should have to go through that. I appreciate this opportunity to talk to you about water fluoridation. This is how we should talk about and debate these issues. However, over the weekend, the pro-fluoride sign in our front yard was set on fire. I don't get angry at people who disagree with fluoride, but burning that sign made me angry. Don't they know they can sign up and voice their opinion in front of the city council every Wednesday? So thank you for this opportunity to discuss water fluoridation. If we can prevent people from rotting teeth, tooth loss, pain, and suffering, as a community, if we can bring that sort of happiness to someone, let's do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mosbeck. Carla, please read the title for item 400.
Request of Angela Heine to address council regarding Portland Main Street program.
Thank you, Ms. Heine. Again, you have 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record.
Good morning. My name is Angie Heine, and I, along with my business owner, business partner, own Frock, a business on Alberta Street. I also serve on the board of directors of Alberta Main Street. I co-chair one of our committees, and I've contributed over $1,500 to the Alberta Main Street program since its inception. I have firsthand knowledge of everything that we've accomplished, and I have a very big stake in our neighborhood. I'm very vested in our neighborhood, and I think the city of Portland needs to be as well. We need your support to continue with the successes that we've had. I have brought along my 7 copies of, the accomplishments we've had since 2010 are too immense to go into in a limited time frame, so I did bring some copies. And we'd hate to have the rug ripped out from under us. The things we've been able to build in the last couple of years without the funding from the city, it may all be for naught. So I just want to urge you to continue to fund the Main Street programs, not only on Alberta Street, but also Hillsdale and St. John's. We have had some stakeholders in our community, you know, modest stakeholder involvement, and we want our community to help fund us, but we can't expect that to happen overnight. So we'd hate to see the city's $58,000 investment go away. That's about 35% of our annual budget. It accounts for 50% of our executive director's salary and a district improvement grant that has leveraged three times its value in private reinvestment. Losing such significant funding with no time to prepare would likely signal the end of a very successful program. It would be especially detrimental to the diversity in our community. We have over 45 minority-owned businesses, 39 minority-owned commercial properties. One thing that makes the Alberta Main Street, well, that makes the Main Street program in general so unique is that we serve and support everyone in a district, whether or not they have the funds to contribute. So private investment, we don't feel is a viable option for us at this point. We're too young. I have a thriving business on Alberta Street that I've had for 10 years. We're thriving because we've been there for 10 years. We're a young organization that needs the funding to grow and become a thriving organization that could be supported by our community. So I just urge you to keep the funding in place or reinstate the funding for the Main Street program. It's an incredible program that is across the country. So thank you so much for listening. And
could you please tell us what your business is and how people can find out about it?
My business is Frock. We're a very whimsical fashion store on 14th in Alberta. Thank you so much.
Is there a website associated with your business?
Frockboutique.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Carla, who's next?
401 is request of Shalyn Monk to address council regarding Career Connect Network.
Thank you, Ms. Monk. Again, you have 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Shalyn Monk. I'm a mother of two precious baby girls, and I work at St. Anthony's Assisted Living as a caregiver. I attended PYC during my junior year because the school I was attending did not support my decision and schedule of being a mother, and that was the very opposite at PYC. My mother had me when she was 17 years old. By the age of 21, my mother had 4 children. I lived with my mother for 10 years. Life for us was not the best. My mother was repeating our family generational curses of having children at a young age that ended up in foster care. This type of dysfunction was because of limited resources, mental and physical abuse, and drug and alcohol addiction in my family. I mention this to say many people believe I was repeating my family's generational curses, but that is not the case. I graduated high school and plan to go back to school once my daughters are old enough for daycare school. I have and will work extremely hard to make sure my daughters do not enter the foster care system like I did. Also, I came to Rosemary Anderson and PYC hopeless because once I got pregnant, the people I thought supported me no longer wanted to be bothering me. I thought I was going to have to drop out of high school. Once I found PYC, I was relieved to know that there is a community that will support me and provide me with endless opportunities for success. Through PYC, I was able to find valuable work experiences like summer works and the opportunity to attend school and parent my children. I have a lifelong connection with the staff at PYC, and I know if I ever needed someone's support, PYC will always be there to assist me. All youth should have an opportunity like this. PYC does not judge one for one's mistakes or setbacks. Instead, they build a community of support and success. I appreciate my experience there and would recommend all youth that need additional support to attain PYC. I would like to ask you to continue supporting the Economic Opportunity Initiative and organizations like PYC that carry out this work. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Who's next, Carla?
Item 402, request of Bunam Samvong to address council regarding Economic Opportunity Initiative Microenterprise Program. You may not be here. Okay. Item 403, request of Kadro Abdi to address council regarding Economic Opportunity Initiative Microenterprise Program.
Kadro Abdi? Kadro Abdi here? Is that it?
That's all for communications.
Okay. Next item is the time certain agenda. We've already done item 404. Carla, please read the title for item 405.
Accept report on the state of the arts from the Regional Arts and Culture Council.
Commissioner Fish, would you please introduce this item?
It's my honor. Mayor Hales extends his regrets. He's at the airport greeting the Dalai Lama. And it is my honor to kick off this annual celebration. It's one of our favorite events to get an update on the state of the arts. We've all been furnished in advance with the report in which Executive Director Eloise Damrosch says it was a remarkable year, and today we get to hear from her and her colleagues just how remarkable it was. Eloise, please come forward.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish and other commissioners, and it's certainly a great excuse that the mayor can't be here, though we miss him. I am delighted to be here to give our annual State of the Arts report to all of you, and I want to thank this wonderful turnout of arts colleagues who joined us today. And before we launch into the report, I am very pleased to introduce a real-life arts experience for you to get us rolling. And with me is Bruce Livingston, who is the executive director and founder of Playwright, Inc., and he will introduce his guest.
Welcome, Mr. Livingston.
Good morning. Thanks for having us here. Playwright is an organization that provides intensive 3-week playwriting workshops for kids at the edge, marginalized kids, mostly in alternative school settings. We go in and work one-on-one with them, intensively coached. At the end of the process, each of the children has written his or her own play entirely in their own words. With me today is Ann Source, an amazing coach and actor for Playwright. She'll tell you a little bit about herself and then read for you a monologue written by one of our students.
Thank you. I just want to say, for me, coming to both Portland and to Playwright is something that's new. I came here about 2 years ago from New York City. And for myself personally as an artist, that transition has been incredible. My life as a creative person has just exploded since I've been here in Portland, and that has to do with the support of the arts community here and the opportunities. I've been able to work with local theater companies, but also as an educator, my work with Playwright is really combining both my work as a teacher and my work as an artist, and it's incredibly satisfying. I'm also a creator and have been supported from the Regional Arts and Council for my own work. So all of that comes together in Playwright as a creator, working with then kids as creators, and really mostly listening and asking questions and encouraging them to find their own words and find their own voice. So the piece I'm going to perform for you today is truly from her own thoughts and words, and then me coming as a director, she's directing me. She's telling me how she sees these words and what she wants and what they mean. So my job as an actor is to give voice to her vision.
My name is Ashley. I'm an old, hard towel. I've been used many times to soak up the wetness of things. That has destroyed my image. I've been squeezed and rubbed on stuff. It's ripped my body, the texture of my body not treated well. You can't recognize me from my original towel. The tracks of a car, triangle, dark, grayish stripes are on my body. I'm a dark purple that once was shiny, but now old and dirty. I'm large because I have a tag that says I'm large. I live under a dumpster. It's smelly, like leftover food and diapers. I see shining lights ahead of me. I crawl myself by dragging my body towards the end of the dumpster to see the outside world. I got dumped in the dumpster 2 months ago, and I dragged myself out and fell onto the street. Well, I was afraid because I heard loud noises, and so I dragged myself back under the dumpster. The dumpster's dark. An old oak tree, brown with yellow stickers on the side. The sky above is always dark. We hardly ever get any sun. I need to be washed. I've been marked on the outside, and when I look at myself, it triggers memories. I soak up feelings, smells, and dirtiness. If I got washed, my self-image would be positive. I'd feel cleaner, fresh, no marks on me. I'd no longer smell, and I would feel special. Right.
That was amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you. Do you want to say anything else? Okay. Now, Lena Garcia-Siebel will join me. She's my board chair, and our wonderful assistant, Anna, to make our presentation. And Lena will begin.
Good morning, Commissioner Fish, Commissioner Fritz, and Commissioner Novick. My name's Lena Garcia-Siebold. I'm the current chair of the Regional Arts and Culture Council, and I'm joined, as you know, by Eloise Damrosch, who's one of the country's very greatest art leaders. This morning, Eloise and I are here to report on how your investments in arts and culture has made our community a better place in 2012. Thank you for making time to hear us today.
And I would like to add my thanks to City Council, to RAC, and all of our arts partners and constituents. Together, we've built a strong arts community. So what is the state of the arts in Portland today? Well, some arts organizations clearly are still struggling, but they're also adapting. They're very resilient. But they are here, and they're surviving. They're smart businesses and strong community organizations. One thing that I see often these days, more and more every day, are collaborations among arts organizations. They're sharing marketing, thematic collaborations around performances and exhibits. They're partnering on venues, and a good example, just recently, Profile Theater, you may remember, lost their home, and they decided to move in with Artist Repertory Theater, and so that's a win for both organizations. Great example of that kind of collaboration in tough times. And then Arts for All program, which you're going to be hearing more about later. Our report shows how the city's investments are making Portland an ever greater center of culture, creativity, art, and innovation. Since 1995, we've been talking about how Portland's funding for arts and culture lags behind the national average, and dedicated funding is the only way to put arts and culture on a path of economic sustainability and to help arts organizations meet their obligations of serving every child and every resident in the region. We've also seen a steep decline in the number of art and music teachers in our public schools. This is not news to anyone. And that is why we're so pleased that 62% of the voters approved the new Arts Education and Access Fund last November, which will restore arts specialists and provide arts organizations with the sustainable funding they need to serve the community well. Thank you for your leadership, and also then-Mayor Adams and Commissioner Leonard, in putting this measure on the ballot. And thanks to Jessica Jarrett Miller and the Creative Advocacy Network for ensuring that the measure passed. Now, of course, we recognize that there's still challenges to be sorted out, and the Oregonian helps us become aware of that every day. We are committed to working with you to make the fund as strong and fair as possible while maintaining this critical new funding stream for arts education and access in our community. The way this fund was designed It only works on top of current levels of public and private investments, including the City of Portland's general fund allocation. In the meantime, our report today is about RAC's current programs and services before we have received any of the proceeds from the new fund. This report serves as a baseline. Once the funding starts flowing, we will begin to see even more dramatic improvements in how arts and culture benefit our community. The transition in 1996 from the Metropolitan Arts Commission to the nonprofit Regional Arts and Culture Council enables us to serve the entire Tri-County region, leverage public investments, conduct entrepreneurial endeavors to help us leverage the city's investment, and especially Work for Art and the Right Brain Initiative, as you'll see in the next series of slides. So an overview of finances. The city support has always been our foundation, and we leverage that support heftily. Here you will see what we looked like when we became RAC in 1996. Today, we receive $4.2 million from the city's general fund, and we leverage that into a total of $8.3 million. So the contrast is pretty dramatic. In the next slide, you can see how we have progressed more specifically over time. I think the growth is especially notable when Work for Art began, big spike, and then later with the advent of the Right Brain Initiative. And you can graphically see the leverage from these programs. The bulk of our budget is spent on programs and services. RAC's administrative and overhead costs are low for the industry at 12.7%. This chart shows how we fund arts education, namely the Right Brain Initiative. And it's interesting, I think, to see that we're just about at a 50-50 split, private-public funding, including significant resources from the school districts themselves, counties, and the state, all shown in red. We've also been very successful with regional foundations and corporations and individuals. Now, in its fifth year, the Right Brain Initiative trains classroom teachers and teaching artists together to enable kids to experience directly a range of artistic expressions and experiences while giving teachers new tools to use the arts to engage all students, learning core curriculum subjects through the arts, leading to much greater engagement, especially important in light of the increasing number of non-English speaking students in our schools. In this slide, you see a seventh graders at Vestal School in Northeast Portland learning the art of interviewing and photography. And in this image, Portland's very own creative laureate, Julie Keefe, who we tried to get here today, but she was too busy being in the schools, is working with first and second graders at King School in Northeast Portland on interacting and learning about fellow students through photography and writing. And in this map, you see the schools currently served by the Right Brain Initiative. There are many more to go, but we have been growing every single year since we began. Right Brain is also a perfect partner for a growing national initiative called STEM to STEAM, adding the arts to science, technology, engineering, and math. In this slide, you see first graders working with Right Brain visual artist Nicole Penoncello. The first graders studied water. These are first graders, mind you. First graders studied water in its various stages under the microscope and then used various printmaking techniques to illustrate what they learned under the microscope. And all of this learning about both science and printmaking resulted in a mural representing a water cycle in all of its beautiful forms, and the students' prints are all across the top of the mural. And I should also mention that our own Congresswoman, Suzanne Bonamici, has created a Congressional STEM to STEAM Caucus in Washington, so this is something really, really taking hold and people are paying a lot of attention to.
Of course, we can't mention Suzanne without mentioning Natalie Sepp.
And her fabulous...
Her forthcoming show on the Dishwasher Project. She might even be here today.
That's called the bully pulpit, right?
There you go.
Yes, of course. She's great. Our work in arts education continues to expand. Next year, with proceeds from the new Arts and Education and Access Fund, we will establish an arts education coordination role that serves all Portland school districts and the 68 arts teachers that are funded by this new opportunity. We'll expand the Right Brain Initiative in